And so as we begin to look at some aspects of God's promises today, I want to encourage you that this is a new year and that there are promises that you can grab hold of in God's Word. Amen? And so as we begin to look, you can see we have a title page there, and here's our first promise. All of God's promises are activated by faith. And so as we look at Hebrews 11, verse 6, let me read this to you. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So in other words, if you're going to go to God, how do you do it? You do it by faith. And faith is kind of an elusive kind of word. Let me give you a different word. Trust. Now, what does it mean to come to God? Al, you're at the front. I'm just going to make use of you and take advantage of you. Come up here. All right. There's a faint line here. Do you see the faint line between the windows? All right. So just start walking. Yeah, don't faint. So just start walking slowly. All right. Slower, please. Yeah, slower. All right. So here's Al. He's walking down his path of life, and he's going along. Here's the thing. There's a promise of God over here somewhere. And God's calling out, hey, Al. So here's the problem. Al has a well-worn path right there in his life. He's been going that direction for a while. I'm not going to date it. Okay? He's been going for a while, all right? Here's the problem. Al, I got a promise for you. But you got to deviate from the path you've begun, and you got to come this way. So here's the problem. Al's got to make a decision. Is he going to carry on doing what he's been doing, or is he by faith trust that God has a better way and come my way? Thanks, Al. You see what I'm saying? And that's difficult. We all have well-worn paths. Okay, you can go faster now. There's always a wise guy in the crowd, always. Now, I know Al, he would deviate from the path, amen? But the point is that it's hard sometimes. We get in that groove. You know, if you ever had those vinyl records and it gets that groove worn in it and it just stays in the groove and the only way you can get out is to bump it out. Well, in a sense, sometimes we have to get bumped out. I remember one of my early prayers, and I don't regret praying this, and I remember praying saying, Lord, you know, if you need to get my attention and you have to hit my head with a 2x4, I give you permission. Can I tell you, I got a sore head. Because I'm strong-minded. I have ideas, I have plans, I'm motivated, I have all the, and there's a lot of you guys just like that too. You know, we got a plan and we're going to stick to it and we're going to do it. But here's the thing, there are times where God has a better plan. Amen. And it's contained within his promises. The question is, when we come to him, are we going to have the faith to believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him? What does that mean? That he is who he says he is in the Bible. That's what that scripture's saying. Is he who he says he is? He says he's the God above all gods. He says that he's the creator. He says that he made you and he knew you by name before you were even created. That he knows the beginning from the end. He knows where you're going to end up. He knew a million years ago you were going to be sitting here today in this church. You might think, well, hold on, I decided to go to church today. You might have, but God knew you would decide and that you would be here. That doesn't take out the importance of free will and the necessity for us to make good decisions. You know, I'm not saying for you to sit back and say, well, God, you know what I'm going to do tomorrow, therefore I'm not going to do anything. Well, he knew you were going to make that decision. Don't make that decision. In other words, we still need to choose to do right in everything that we do. And so by faith, promises are given by God. But you can't get the promises if you're going to stay on the same road you've been on. Here's why I know that. The Bible says this, that God, the Father of the heavenly lights, gives good gifts to all of his children. So if God's a good God, then he's already given everything he can give you right now in the place you're at. I just want you to think about this. If he's a good and loving and caring God, he holds no good thing back. That's what the scriptures say. Not one good thing. So that means he's given you everything he can give you right now. Most important thing was his son, amen? But even over above that, other things. And so if you want, let me take a survey right now. How many people want more from God than they've got right now? Well, if you didn't put up your hand, I'm a little concerned for you. Now, salvation is more than enough. It really is. But I think that God is the God of the more. There's no limits to God, right? You know, he owns the cattle on the hills, the silver and the gold is his. Everything, let's even go beyond that. The universes are his. He made them. And they're our playground, so to speak. Amen? It's all ours, and it's contained within his promises. But his promises have conditions, don't they? For us to deviate from whatever we're doing so that we can get on his road. You know, I liken it to this, if you were going to the airport. I remember we had a mission team. We had this one lady, God bless her, had this one lady that had like 10 pieces of luggage. And I don't know how she expected to carry it all. But if one more piece was added, she would have died, I think. You know what I'm saying? Like collapsed. And so think about this. What if God wanted to give her something new? Her hands are already full of her own stuff. And in a sense, that's how you and I are sometimes. We got so much baggage. We're carrying so much stuff. And we're on this road that we've decided to be on. We're carrying all this. God couldn't give us more stuff if he wanted to. And so there's times we have to let go of some things. Let go of some baggage. Let go of different ways in our lives so that we can get the new that God has for us. And they're contained within his promises. Amen? So that first one, all of God's promises are activated by faith. The next promise is this. All of God's promises are available to all of his children. And the scripture I have for this is Romans 2:11, and it says this. There's no partiality with God. Now, isn't that a good thing? Okay, I want to take another survey. How many people here were A students in school? My hand is not up. Oh, yeah. So you guys were the teacher's pet, weren't you? Yeah. I want to tell you, I wasn't. I was the average C kid, you know, just kind of getting, just made it through. Because I was busy doing other stuff. I was fishing. I was, you know, homework. Who does homework? You know, I just was one of those kind of kids. And so the point is, the teacher often would like the A kids, wouldn't they? Come on, admit it. Come on, you A kids, you know, the teacher liked you. You were the teacher's pet, weren't you? But but us C kids, we're just like taking up space sometimes, you know, to the teacher, you know, just occupying a desk. But the point is, God hasn't got any teacher's pets. Amen. In that he loves us all equally the same. Because sometimes we look at each other and we judge ourselves like school. We're like, well, I'm just an average Christian, or I got this problem, or I got that problem. So I don't think God loves me as much as, and then we insert a name of somebody else that we know. That's not true. In fact, God loved us so much that he gave his only son. The same love, the same promise poured out upon the entire world, upon you and me and everyone who's ever lived, was the promise of Jesus. Amen? And so just as that one promise of Jesus was given to all of his other promises are available as well, without partiality. So then the next question you ask, if you were sitting there, I'd say, well, hold it. Then how come so-and-so got that promise and I didn't? I won't ask a survey, but just look at me. I mean, you've asked that question, you know, you've wondered, well, that doesn't seem right. Well, here's what I can believe. There are some promises that are available for some people at certain times and some promises available for other people at certain times. Just as Ingrid talked about earlier, that God's timing is not our time. In this Bible, and in your Bible, are some 6,000 plus promises from God's Word. Now, does that mean that every single promise is for every single person right here, right now? No, it's not. Some promises are different times. You know, the Bible talks about kairos time. Kairos means a divine moment or a divine encounter with God. And what that talks about is that certain promises are at certain event times in God. You hear what I'm saying? The key is that you and I need to discover when those times are happening and be at the right place at the right time for the promise to happen so we can move forward with it. Amen? You see, it all comes down to personal relationship. If you want to hear more about the promises of God, here's where it happens, in your prayer closet. That's where it happens. That's where the seed is sown and it begins to happen. It's not just as if you just carry on in your life as usual and expect God to interrupt your life. Let me tell you something. It begins in your prayer closet. It begins in your private time with the Lord, talking with him. And please, you know, I'm going to make a statement, and I want you to hear my heart in this. I believe at times it's okay to have a list to go before the Lord. You know what I'm saying? I don't have an issue with it. But if you're before Jesus every time and it's the same old list, you know, bless grandma, bless grandpa, bless my kids, bless my dog. You get what I'm saying? And you're just kind of going through this checklist. Okay, Jesus, I prayed about that. Please stop that. Just stop that. How about just putting the list aside and just whatever comes up out of your heart. You know, lists are fine. There's a place to start. And if you feel you need to do that to start, that's fine. But before you leave your prayer closet, put the list aside and just say, Lord, I'm just here and I just want to talk with you. How many people have a friend that when you call and talk to, they tell you the same stories over and over and over again? I remember my wife is still mad at me to this day. This happened in Canada 30 years ago. Somebody called and they were one of those kind of people. And they were going through their list. I actually sat the phone down, went to the fridge, got a glass of milk, went back, picked up the phone, and my wife's looking at me, I can't believe you did that. And I covered the phone and said, they'll never know. That's how God, I wonder, feels about us sometimes. You know what I mean? We're going through our list and we said the same thing. Listen, if he heard you the first time and you believe by faith he heard you, why do you have to keep telling him?
Amen.
Is he hard to hear it? Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, let's be real about this. If you've talked to Jesus about it, and I think it's okay to remind him, say, Lord, you know, I talked to you about this and it's still bothering me. I got no issue with that. But to say the same thing over and over and over again, come on. Would you do that to anybody? Would you want someone to do that to you? No. Amen. God's promises are for you. Amen. And they come through that private time of spending time with him, talking and praying and listening to him. And again, giving him some time. Now, just as Ingrid, it's amazing. Ingrid said my whole sermon, you know, all in one little thing. And I didn't talk to her about it. But the point being that he might not give you the answer when you're in your prayer closet at that moment. Maybe later on in the day, all of a sudden, the answer just comes. Or a week later, or a month later. But the point is, you've connected with him. And God can begin to do some things through that. Amen? All of God's promises involve personal sacrifice. Matthew 16, beginning at verse 24, says this, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, pick up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. We've already talked a little bit about that. You know, you're carrying your baggage, and you know, it's sacrificial to let go of some things. You know, you don't want to. Listen, you wouldn't, if you're carrying it, it means you want to keep it. You get what I'm saying? And so if you want the promise that God has for you, it means that you may have to let go or sacrifice something that's near and dear to you. And it's just, it's a requirement. In other words, God's promises are conditional from time to time. Here's the question you have to ask. Is what God's got better than what I've got? Yeah. Now between you and me, I believe that whatever God's got is better than whatever you're clinging to. Are you willing to let it go so that you can have the new that he has for you this year? It's time, isn't it? You know, God doesn't want you just to barely get along. He wants you to be an overcomer. That's his heart. Okay, this is an interesting one. All of God's promises are more than to bless you. It's about the kingdom. I want to tell you a story that happened to me a number of years ago when I was in business. There was a man by the name of Frank Duckett. He's gone to be with the Lord probably 30 years ago. He was old then. And so he had been in a car accident. And in fact, him and his wife had both been in a car accident. And he didn't have any use of his legs. And so he had this old car, and it was one of those hand-controlled cars. How many people have seen one of those, you know? And so all custom-made so he could use it. And so at that time, I was in that business of repairing cars, and he brought this thing to me. It was dead. It was ready to, it was done, all right? So I just said, no, look, you can't, this car's not safe anymore. It's got to, you know, there was like holes in the floor. Yeah, it was bad. The wheels were falling off. It was just dangerous. I said, it's got to go. He goes, I don't know what to do. And I said, I don't know either, but this car dead. It's gotta go to the car graveyard. It's done. And so he leaves, and the Lord began to speak to me. He says, well, you know he can't do anything about it, but you know you can. I'm like, yeah, so? Come on, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm just a young guy starting out in business, is barely making it. You know, I'm like, that's nice. So I blew it off. So days go by, weeks go by. I'm still praying to Jesus, talking to him. And he began to speak to my heart and says, you need to do something. But Lord, you know, I'm trying to cling to your promise of you blessing me. And he goes, look, I'm trying to teach you something. Will you just do this? So I ended up, I went to this place and I bought this car, a used car. And I took all the, because his car wasn't even safe to drive on the road. So it was in my back lot. And so I took all the controls. You can't even imagine the time it takes to do all that. Put it all in, put it all together. So I call up Frank. I say, Frank, come on here. You know, come on out here. I want to show you something. So show him the car. You know, he's crying. His wife's crying. You know, it's a big crying mess. You know, and I'm like, look, just, you know, you got to understand where I was. And I'm like, look, here's the keys. You know, just take the car. Be happy. You know, that's kind of where I wasn't crying with him. If you know what I'm saying, I was like, here, just go. So they drive away, you know, and I'm sitting at my desk and I said, Lord, you know, it seems like all that I do is give. But I don't get. So here's what happens. So I go home. You know, I'm kind of grumpy. I go home. Next morning, I come in. Guy comes in, and a Christian guy that I hadn't talked to or anything, and he knocks on my door, and he comes in. Big guy. His name was Ace Clark. So he walks in. Big, like when I say big guy, he's about 350 pounds, about 6'5", just big. You know, hard to get through my door. So he comes in. And he puts down a set of keys on my desk. I said, okay, what do you need done? You know, and so he said, I don't need anything done. I said, well, what are you here for? He says, God told me to come here. I said, okay, well, all right. You're not the first person that said something crazy like that, all right? So he says, God told me to give you my car. So he left the keys. The title was already signed. He turned and walked out. Now, that was the day after I prayed to Jesus. You see, part of the promises of God is not just to bless you. You see, if God can get the promises through you to others, he'll get them to you. This is really important. You know, so often we're thinking, God, I need this. And we're like those little birds. It's not about that. It's not about that. If he can get it through you, if he can get the promises, I can tell you right now, Frank was praying, Jesus, what do I do? What am I going to do? The guy says this car is no good. It's not safe. What am I going to do? And so Jesus chose to use me to give him a promise that every provision would be made in his life. And so as a result of that, here's what God does. He used that then to show how he's going to work in my life. Now, I'll tell you, I wasn't crying when I gave the car away. I was a mess for the rest of the day because Jesus touched me. See, if he can get it through you, he'll get it to you. And so often that's what happens. We become greedy when it comes to the promises of God. And we need to look beyond that as we look, and we can be a promisee in a sense, an agent of the Holy Spirit to help promises be fulfilled in other people's lives. Let me assure you, God will look after you. We forget that. We forget how big God is, and it's a big picture, much bigger than we could ever imagine, that he wants to work in and through us to touch a world around us. Amen? God bless Frank. All of God's promises are found everywhere in God's Word. You know, you could just flip open your Bible anywhere and find promises. You know, I think of John 1:9, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. There's one right there. You know, the list goes on and on and on. You can go to Romans 8, you know, the list goes on. Just where God's love, nothing can separate you from God's love. Romans 8:39. You know, nothing could separate you from God's love in Christ Jesus. The list goes on and on. You can flip open every single place. So let me ask you right now, does anyone here have one promise from God? Anyone here? All right. Here's the thing. This is an exercise in a sense. All right, Norman, I heard you say yeah. All right, so you tell me that one promise. Go ahead.
I was just a boy, and I found out that God speaks Spanish.
Amen.
He does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, not to me, but that's no. Okay.
He told me in Spanish. I was just a boy, and this is what he told me. He says, no te apures, que yo te cuido.
Can you translate that for us, please?
No. Yes. Yes, he said.
I'll get someone else to.
What he said was, don't worry, I will take care of you.
Amen.
And he has.
How old were you then?
Oh, I was 17, something like that.
Amen.
I'm 56.
Amen. You see what I'm saying?
He's,
you know,
he's faithful.
Amen. You know, some of the promises can be direct scripture. Other times it's just a word to you that's not contrary to scripture, but it's meant for you as an individual. Anyone else? Just one. Yeah. One promise. Go ahead.
The Lord promised me a house.
Okay.
I was praying one day, and he said to me, ask me what you want, and I will give it to you. Mm. And I said, what? And I waited, and he said, ask me what you want, and I will give it to you. I said, well, Lord, I need a car. And the Lord said, not that. I know about that. And I stood quiet. I thought I blew it. And he asked me again, ask me what you want, and I will give it to you. And I said, Lord, I want a house. I want a place where I never have to feel like I'm being kicked out or worried about not being able to make ends meet and being in the street. A place for my children, a refuge. And I felt that God had received that prayer, and I know that God answered it. It's been about 18 years that I'm waiting for that house. But I can truly say that I've never been homeless.
Amen.
And he supplied every need, every need, even when I've lost jobs and had kids to feed, daycare to pay for. All these years, we've been able to do it without any government help.
Yes.
And he has been the strength, the source. He's been my house. I know.
Amen. Amen.
I'm still waiting.
You can't see it. I see it in her eyes. The house is there. Amen. Amen. It's Amen. Good. It's good. Amen. Vera.
God promised me right in the beginning when I read his word that you and your whole household shall be saved. I have not seen it yet, but I'm waiting and I'm believing, trusting that this will happen.
Amen.
My whole household,
but
my
you,
children.
You did have one saved. Your husband got saved.
Well,
right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's kind of important, well, right? It started, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
That is
started
kind of important.
With
amen.
Yes,
amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Good stuff. So you see, promises are all kinds of different promises. It could be a promise directly from the Word or a promise specific to your situation.
Amen.
Anyone else?
Um, 11 years ago, my husband passed away. And I was worried, but even before that, we had issues. But God always told me, I will be a father to your sons and a husband to you.
Amen.
As of now, my youngest son is doing wonderful. My oldest son, the biggest, toughest head ever, just gave his life to Christ last month.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm hoping, because my other sons look at him, I'm praying that, well, I already know.
Did it have an effect?
It's going to have an effect, and all three of my sons will come to Christ.
Amen, amen, amen. So you see how promises aren't instantaneous usually. There's a progression involved. Amen? All of God's promises are available for the asking. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. They're available. Now, again, I said earlier, not every promise is available to every person at that moment. But as you're asking him, as you've listened to some of the testimonies here, what were they doing? They were in a time of prayer. And God spoke to them and revealed to them what to ask and how to ask it. And God said, okay, I'll look after it. Like a good father would, amen? This is not always had good fathers or good parents and good people around us to understand what good is. Can I tell you, you're maybe better off. Because you can look at God's word and you can see what good is. What a good father is. How he cares for you and wants to meet every single need that you have. It's there for the asking. You know, sometimes we have to ask. I think of Peter, he was in the boat. Jesus is walking by on the water. Pretty cool, right? But it freaks out everybody. But once Jesus says, hey, it's me. What does Peter do? They say, well, that's really neat. You know what he says? He says, hey, Jesus, can I come to you? What was he doing? Asking. He was asking to defy nature and physically walk on water that wasn't ice. Listen, I've walked on lots of water, but it was frozen, all right? I'm from Canada. Lots of frozen water up there. But to walk on water that's not frozen is miraculous. And so what did Jesus say? Oh, you don't have any right to do that. You know what he said? Come. Come on, Pete. So Pete jumps over, and you know, we read, he starts to sink and all that. Forget about that. He walked on water. He's the only one to walk on water like that. But he had to ask. Sometimes we're like, oh, no, I don't deserve to ask. Do you know that your Father in heaven is waiting for you to ask? He's waiting for you to talk to him and ask and say, Lord, what promises are for me for today? What promises are for me for the future? Begin to show them to me so that I can begin to change my route of life to head towards those promises. Because if he could give it to you now, he would. So you need to hear what the promise is, and then you adjust and begin to go in that direction. Amen? That's his heart for you. He loves you so much. If that's all you get this morning, I pray that you get that. Amen? All of God's promises are attained through the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit. Just listen to this. John 16, verses 13 to 15. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you on to all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority. For whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Let me ask you a question. Where's the Holy Spirit? In you. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he lives in your heart. Amen. And what does the word say? That the Father, by the Holy Spirit, will declare to you things. He will declare to you. And what is he declaring? Promises. Declaring your future. Declaring the things that you need to believe for and exercise faith towards. You know, Jesus doesn't want you to become a jellyfish. Now, you know what? A jellyfish has no spine. A jellyfish is like a blob. If you ever take a jellyfish out of water, how many people have seen that happen? There's like this spineless blob. Listen, God does not want any spineless Christians. And so as part of it, there's growth that's involved in attaining to the promises. In other words, as you grow in him, you're reaching up towards him, and he's reaching down. You know, Da Vinci, when he did that painting, I'll tell you, I believe that was anointed. You know, that person is reaching up, and God is reaching down. He meets you at your point of need, but it requires some effort on your part to reach out to him. And he grabs hold of you and says, I've got you. I'll help you through this. And we are going to win this thing together. Amen? We're going to finish up here in just a couple of minutes. Bucky, you want to come up? We've got a special song that we're going to play. And I just want you to listen to the words of it. And while he's coming up to get ready, let me just read Hebrews 10, verses 35 and 36. It says this, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Amen. My prayer for you is that this year be one of endurance, one that endure to the end and receive the promise God has for you. Amen. Amen. So let's just live together.
Is unshakable. Doesn't matter what I feel, doesn't matter what I see, my hope will always be your promises to me. Now I'm casting out all fear, for your love has set me free. My hope will always be your promises to me. As I walk into the days to come, I will not forget what you have done. For you have supplied my every need, and your presence is enough for me. Doesn't matter what I feel, doesn't matter what I see, my hope will always be in your promises to me. Now I'm casting out all fear, for your love has set me free. My hope will always be your promises to me. Whoa. You will always be more than enough for me. You will always be more than enough for me. Nothing's gonna stop the plans you've made. Nothing's gonna take your love away. You will always be more than enough for me. You will always be more than enough for me. You will always be more than enough for me. Nothing's gonna stop the plans you've made. Nothing's gonna take your love away. You will always be more than enough for me. Doesn't matter what I feel, doesn't matter what I see, my hope will always be in your promises to me. Now I'm casting out all fear, for your love has set me free. My hope will always be your promises to me. Doesn't matter what I feel, doesn't matter what I see, my hope will always be in your promises to me. Now I'm casting out all fear, for your love has set me free. My hope will always be your promises to me. Your promises to me. Your promises to me. Your promises to me.
Amen. You know, as we begin to close out our thoughts this morning, I encourage you to have a look at the church bulletin, and if you could put our slide up of 2 Corinthians 1:20, I believe it's the second last slide. Just want you to look at this. You know, a lot of times we quote the first half of it, and it says this, "For all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him, amen." And we stop. But there's more to it. It says, "To the glory of God through us." In other words, that whole concept that the promises are to go through us to touch those around us, amen? And as a result of it, promises come back to us, amen? If you could put up the last slide, the last winner slide. Yeah, just have a look at that picture for a minute. Again, we're going to close out with this thought. Picture yourself standing there on that road. I have a feeling, you know, there's hoarfrost, what they call hoarfrost on the trees. That's cold. It's probably, you know, 20 degrees Fahrenheit maybe. So picture yourself standing there. You're all bundled up with your hat and gloves, and you're cold, and you're standing there. Now take a look around. You're standing there in that. Is there anything alive? Doesn't really look like it. It's all covered with snow. There's no leaves on the trees. Everything's dead. The grass is covered over. Doesn't look like there's a whole lot going on. But I want to suggest something to you. That under the ground, there in the sight of that picture are millions upon millions upon millions of seeds that are sitting there in stasis, in a sense, in dormancy. But with the right conditions, 6 months from now, you're standing in the same place. What's there then? You understand what I'm saying? There's grass, there's flowers, there's leaves. You know, you could see that there'd be right environmental conditions. All right. I want to close with this thought. Contained within the Bible are thousands and thousands of promise seeds lying dormant. In fact, they can't do anything apart from themselves. So what environment do they need to be activated? They need a human heart. When God's seed, His Word, is planted in a human heart, it then can germinate and produce fruit after it's come. And it's done by faith. I want to encourage each and every one of you, as you look at your Bibles, when you go home today or tomorrow, whenever you open up this most amazing thing, that you see it as a giant granary. Seeds that are there for you, that God has for you. Promises in His Word. And it doesn't mean that every one of them is for you at this moment, but as you're reading, as you're meditating on His Word, He will show you what seed you're to place in your heart. And as you do that, you're going to see a crop. You're going to see a harvest. You're going to see blessings, not just for yourself, but for those around you. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and pray together. I got it.
Okay, it's just one of the promises that I should have said before, but I figured it wouldn't really matter, but it won't leave my feel, my body. 18 years ago, or before that, I was in some really deep sin. And it kind of hurts me to say this in front of all the church, but I made a baby without being married. And because of that, it pulled me away from the church. Before that, I was really solid Christian, pulled me away from the church. I had so much shame. And out of all the four kids I have, God promised me at that time, I will help you raise her. My other three kids are not Christians. And look at the child that he blessed me with, even though I wasn't married. So that was definitely a gift.
Amen. 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 Just like I said earlier, willingness to admit a wrong direction so that God can bless. Amen? Amen. Father, I just thank you for every person here. And Lord, as they go out into their areas of life, Lord God, that they go as a light for you. And Lord, I'm just reminded, even as we're all standing here, of the greatest promise of all. And that's the promise that through faith in Jesus, we have eternal life. And so just with every eye closed, if there's a person here, any person, don't know Jesus personally. In other words, if I came and asked you this question, are you sure that you would go to heaven if you died? And you couldn't give me a clear, concise answer. That means that you're not born again. It's just that it's that clear. And again, I don't want to put guilt or condemnation on you. I want to give you an opportunity. I just want to let you know that, hey, right now at this moment, all you have to do is say, Jesus, come into my heart. And He will. He promises that He will. And that you can have the promise of eternal life. That's the first and greatest promise of all contained within God's Word. All of the other promises are supplementary to that. And so, Lord, even at this very moment, right now, I just hear the cry of a lost soul. And so, Lord, I can't let that go. So, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name, for that individual, that they would come to a reconciliation with you. That they would say yes to you. So again, just with every head bowed, I'm just going to stand up here so I can see. If you're that person, I'm just going to ask you to put your hand up in the air just so that I can see it. Is anyone here that needs Jesus in their hearts? You're not sure where you're going to go. If something was happening to you today or tomorrow, you're not sure. Lord Jesus, Father, right now, you know who that individual is. And Lord, I thank you that they came here this morning to hear about you. Maybe they were dragged here. Maybe they just came because they felt, I just need to be here. But Lord, I pray right now in Jesus' name that you bring assurance to them, that you love them, that you've got a plan for them, and that all they have to do is say yes to you. It's not joining a church or or a denomination or a religion is becoming part of the family of God. And so, Lord, right now, just right where they're standing, just touching them, ministering your grace and your favor. So, Lord, just bless everyone else here as they go out into their mission fields, Lord God, that they go out holding their head up high, knowing that all of the promises are yea and amen through Jesus Christ our Lord, to the glory of God through us. Amen, amen.